Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. And as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program, fresh off yet another defeat at the hands of Joe Rex Road. Stillman broke the curse last week. He won. Rex Road back in the winning column this week in Jared versus Joe. Jared, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Joe deserved it. I asked him, you know, he said that Malik Willis turning into a starting quarterback wouldn't be the craziest thing that's ever happened, and I told him to name something crazier, and he talked about Kurt Warner going from bagging groceries in the Arena League to,
you know,
Super Bowl MVP and the Hall of Fame, so I can't argue with that.
Well, you know, and if I would have had time to think, you know, what else I would have said? I said, you know, what's even crazier is Todd Downing having the entire plane from Green Bay do the limbo, and then that being the real reason John Robinson got fired. I can't believe you brought up hashtag the plane from Green Bay yesterday, Jared. Are you kidding me? What is wrong with you?
Oh, let me tell you something. I have talked to a lot of people.
Oh, good. You've talked to a lot of people and what?
Who thought that the plane was a part of the process.
Dude. Yeah, you also had like the former. This guy's a former GM and he mentioned the plane. I mean, he's a former GM, so he must know something about the hashtag plane from Green Bay. Please stop with the plane from Green Bay. One favor in life from you. Please stop with this.
Well, I mean, I would say this.
It's about John Robinson's job performance, Jared, and you know it.
I would say one thing about the tone that you had about the former general managers. I do love this because I've been, you know, playing a lot of cuts from Bill Polian or Rick Spielman or, you know, Mark Dominic or whomever. And I feel like when people hear what they don't want to hear, and in this case, Joe, with you, it's the possibility that Amy Adams Strunk could have been upset about the plane from Green Bay.
But it has nothing to do with a GM. Like, just because you were a GM in the league, I mean, this is a dumb conspiracy theory. It has nothing to do with GMing in the NFL.
But the greater issue here is all the people that, you know, are if they disagree with what former general managers say, like, you know, about Anthony Richardson or Will Levis or something, they just completely dismiss it because it's not what they want to hear. And so what I'm convinced of is a lot of times I feel like people are looking for affirmation for their opinions and not information for their opinions.
You're totally
right.
In
this case, when you are not willing to even consider this, unless you can tell me your sources have said inside the Titans organization it had absolutely, positively nothing to do with John Robinson's firing, then I don't think you can completely go there. I just think you want it to affirm your belief.
Dude, first of all, you're absolutely right when GMs, you know, like says something about a player, oh, he's a former, he got fired. Who cares? Yeah, I agree. I have asked some people. I have been laughed at, Jared. How have you not been laughed at?
Okay, so just say it right now. My sources inside the Titans organization have told me that the plane from Green Bay had absolutely, positively 0% impact on John Robinson's firing. Say it right now.
Here's the response. That's it. Stop it. It's so stupid and it's embarrassing.
Put your stamp down. So these are your sources inside the organization that have told you that have laughed at that in response to that. Because I feel like I'm just asking you to make a very clear statement and you're trying to dance around.
Jared, here's what I'm dancing around. I'm not lowering myself to say, sources told me the plane from Green Bay didn't have anything to do with John Robinson's firing. This is embarrassing. This is worse than the cap is fake. Stop it.
So,
no, dude, no. Move on.
You're
this
not
is
willing
ridiculous.
To say it. You brought it up.
Yeah, because you brought it up yesterday. What is wrong with you?
So you're not willing to say.
Oh my God, I'm willing to say a lot of things right now that would probably get me fired because I'm about to throw F-bombs your way in like a total. I mean, this is insane. Stop it.
Jared, we are less than a week away from the NFL draft and the first round getting underway next Thursday. If I asked you today here, Jared Stillman, a Titans draft going the ideal way for Jared Stillman, what does that look like in your mind as we sit here less than a week away from the NFL draft?
I mean, to me, like you say, ideal. I mean, I'm trying to figure, you know, again, like I don't want to parse the word, but do you mean like what would be freaking awesome if it happened, or what do I think, you know, is more likely to happen?
What do you want to happen for the Titans coming up as the draft begins next week?
I want the Titans to trade up, and I want them to draft C.J. Stroud or Anthony Richardson. That's what I want. And I want Mike Vrabel to go to the podium the second after they draft either guy, but especially Richardson. And I want him to say that Ryan Tannehill is the starting quarterback for next season. And I want that quarterback. I want the quarterback to sit. I don't care how old you are. I mean, unless you're like 26 years old, like, you know, Hendon Hooker's going to have to sit. But, like, I wouldn't want Hendon Hooker to sit if I drafted him because he's older. But, I mean, I think that sitting for quarterbacks in the NFL, I don't care if you went to Ohio State or Crap Bum State, but I think that it's important that these quarterbacks sit. Patrick Mahomes sat. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers sat. He was the best quarterback in the NFL before Patrick Mahomes. Tom Brady sat. He's the best quarterback in the history of the NFL. So I do like the idea of sitting the quarterback. I want the long-term quarterback. I like those two quarterbacks. I think they've got the potential to be really, really good. So I'd like the Titans to trade up, and I'd like them to draft C.J. Stroud or Anthony Richardson.
Bob McGinn. First of all, as LD from McMinnville on the text line brings up, you said the S2 is the new Wonderlic. It's nothing like the Wonderlic. I mean, I don't know how much you.
I don't know what this is, but everybody's treating it like it's the Wonderlic.
Okay, well, I'll send you the story I wrote in 2020 about the S2. These guys are from here, and it's a complete explanation of what it is. I've taken the test. No, the Wonderlic is like, you know, it's like
how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
Exactly. It's like it's basically an IQ test. This is. Sit down at a screen and there's moving objects and you're testing your brain. You're testing the quickness of your processing, okay?
It's just like when you go to like the Adventure Science Center and it's like...
It kind of is.
Find the triangle.
It kind of is, yes. There's some of them are like that. So, Bob McGinn from GoLong.com today got leaked all the scores. And, you know, Bryce Young, everybody knows, got a 98, which is even better than Burrow, who's a 97. And so far, there's been some serious correlation. Drew Brees took it because the Saints were early on this. He had like a 96 or whatever. C.J. Stroud got an 18. Does that change your mind at all?
I have a conspiracy theory that I'm saving today for the Stillman & Company program.
Oh, goody. Good. Oh, goody.
I have a conspiracy theory to answer your question. No. I mean, not really. I'm not sure that does exactly. I mean... Again, I've never taken this test. You say you've taken the test.
I've taken all the tests. Well, Michelle asked that earlier. They didn't tell me. These scores, again, it's your percentile, right? So 18 means that you were better than 18% of the people who have taken it. That's what the scores are, right? So the highest you could be is like 99, right? I mean, essentially.
Right.
Sure.
So I don't know my score, but I was terrible. I was bad. I know that I was like, this actually helps me understand my failed athletic career. I was bad. So
how is there a cognitive test that would be like, again, to me, being, you know, cognitively, like, I don't think that I'm physically gifted enough to do anything at the quarterback position. I do think I'm smart enough to be a quarterback. Like, I don't think that I'm anything else. Like, I can't run like a quarterback. I can't throw like a quarterback. I'm not strong like a quarterback.
I think you can be a detective.
I can't take hits like a quarterback. I can't do any of that. I do think I could, like, if I had, you know, if instead of learning how to do radio, if I had learned how to do play quarterback, I think I could sit there and, like, recognize a blitz. Like, I think I'm smart enough to be able to do that. So if you're saying that you took this test and you failed because it tells you that you wouldn't be a good athlete, again, how is that a cognitive test?
It's processing. It's processing information. The reason this correlates, I think these tests work probably best, some of them, for hitting. They're very good in terms of being, I'd say, predictive in terms of being able to hit a baseball. But safeties and quarterbacks in particular, because there's so much quick processing of information needed, it's testing, again, some of it is like, okay, one of them is distraction control. So there's something that distracts you. Can you still focus on the task at hand while this distraction is trying to take your attention away? I mean, you'd have to take the test. But they are meant, it's like a 40 time for your brain, right? I mean, it's basically what it is. It's the 40 time and the long jump and the broad jump for your brain.
And Stroud was really bad.
How quickly do you do these things? So far, we've seen some pretty strong correlation with these being good number. Again, Trey Lance, Charles Robinson talked yesterday, said Trey Lance on the board, oh, he could talk it up all day. Great. Then he goes out there. He can't apply it to the field. I don't know what his score was, but I do know that Brock Purdy was off the charts and was pretty good last year, and they seem to be sold on him. So it's starting to build here where this means something.
Okay, so I'm just going to go off of what you've told me here. I mean, I guess, you know, that would worry me about Stroud if he was an 18 and everybody else was in the 90s. Again, I don't completely understand this test, so it's hard for me to, and I'm sure that you understand it more because you've taken it, and I'm sure Vrabel understands it more and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, I guess it bothers me a little bit. Again, like I said, I have a conspiracy theory that will come up today at some point on the Stillman and Company program.
About the S2?
About C.J. Stroud's pre-draft process.
Okay. All right, I like it.
Vrabel sabotaging everybody. That's it,
well,
isn't
could
it?
Be.
Is that it?
I like it. Looking forward to that coming up on Stillman & Company later today. Jared, thanks for being with us. Looking forward to that at 2 o'clock. We'll talk to you next week.
I just want to hear it come out of Joe's mouth just one time. My sources.
No. Wait. No. Let's flip it around. It's embarrassing to ask a question. Let's flip it around. Your
so you
sources.
Didn't even ask. So you didn't ask.
I did
you
ask.
You just assumed.
I just it, told you that
so
I got.
Was it not embarrassing for you to ask the question?
Shut up. I got laughed at because it's laughable. I want you to tell me that your sources told you it was a factor in John Robinson's firing.
I never claimed that.
Oh, okay. It's just, I can't even do this, man.
Jared, we'll see you at 2 o'clock.
See you guys.
All right. Jared Stillman, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll continue to take your thoughts, your reaction.
Did Vrabel on the plane from Green Bay devise this plan?
For C.J. Stroud?
Yeah. Is it possible?
Maybe.
Let the wrong score leak, and hey, it just all.
You know, if there was ayahuasca and not just booze on the plane, maybe you could see the future.
That's a different quarterback. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to react to the S2 scores that have been released coming up next. Tim Corbin joining the show at 7:30. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Come hang out with me tomorrow from 10 a.m. to noon for another Kubota field event at the Coleman Tractor in White House for their biggest sales event of the year. You can demo Kubota tractors, zero-turn mowers, and more. That's Coleman Tractor of White House, located at 3613 Highway 31 West tomorrow. Looking forward to that event. Hope to see a lot of you out there. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt baseball coach, coming up at 7:30. So looking forward to that.
Sorry, Mark. We forgot to ask someone about the debate. Sometimes I...
Yeah, Joe just attacked him right out of the gate, like Mark told him to do the other day.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You can't have it all, you know? I got a little heated there. Sorry. Didn't I say something about somebody laughing about this real early in the process? I'm pretty sure I did on this show. I mean, it's laughable.
Yes, you did, I think.
Like, why is he the way that he is?
Why are you the way that you are?
Every day is a day.
Oh, man.
Every person is a person.
So we're discussing a report that Bob McGinn has put out there on GoLongTD.com. By the way, that has come out this morning, and it's out there and kind of making the rounds right now. An NFL executive... You know, he's doing the story on the S2 score. And really, the story itself is about Bryce Young and about how dominant he was at the S2 score, getting a 98. And an executive telling Bob McGinn, quote, Stroud scored an 18. That's like red alert, red alert. You can't take a guy like that. That's why I have Stroud as a bust. That in conjunction with the fact, name one Ohio State quarterback that's ever done it in the league. This is from an executive on the story at GoLongTD.com.
And then someone in the replies here, a few replies, one football, another F words, does a great podcast, interacts with us sometimes. He made the point. We've been going back and forth on Twitter. This is a little bit of a side thing, but Hooker 46, he said, yep. You know, basically, talking about this system, you know, we talk about the Heupel system. He said, seems the offense asks you to do less from a mental standpoint, don't help you grow in this area. And I said, I don't think there's a correlation there. Now these tests, for the background on these guys, these are brain doctors who at Vanderbilt were devising these tests to help people with Alzheimer's and things like that to improve, you know, to work on these things, right? But I don't think that, like, being in this offense or that offense is going to have that much of an impact on your brain, you know, like on your processing. Again, it's kind of like it's just how your brain, you can work on it. But I don't think, like, oh, you're in a pro style offense, so your S2 score goes up. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is separate from that. It's again, I think the analogy of putting your brain through the 40-yard dash and the broad jump and different tests like that is kind of the best analogy. So I would not make the jump on system. Now, someone else in the replies said that one of the founders of S2 refuted this. This is the Bob McGinn report. This is the amazing rando, who is a business science photography, some other stuff, Buckeyes, White Sox, Bears, a lot of followers, says the owner creator of the test refuted this the other day on a PFF podcast. It's really irresponsible to report this. To your point, Robbie, this particular number of CJ Stroud with an 18 is new today.
It came out this morning. So
I will vouch strongly right now for Bob McGinn. Bob McGinn's not, messing around with, like, shoddy sourcing, okay? So he lays it out here. It's an executive in the NFL. Could an executive in the NFL have flat-out lied through his teeth to Bob McGinn?
It's possible.
It could be. This is sometimes the problem with anonymous sources, that they're not accountable with their name on something. Of course, you should be accountable to Bob McGinn,
because
you're screwing over Bob McGinn if you just lied that C.J. Stroud scored an 18. So this will get sorted out. There's a lot of Stroud. I mean, this is separate. If he scored an 18, he scored an 18, right? I mean,
right.
It's not good. But, like, there's all this stuff with Stroud and, like, the Manning camp and Brady Quinn and Ryan Clark screaming at each other and all this stuff.
A lot
tough
of conversations
week for
around
Stroud.
C.J. Stroud
yeah.
right now. So, like, if you're – let's say – so if this is true and – there's an 18 on the S2 test. How much is that scaring you off if you're an NFL team?
You know, some. Because, look, C.J. Stroud is a tremendously accurate passer. He has the tools. He's been extremely successful. I do think, like I just said, system, I don't think system really correlates. But what I do think is if you're a C.J. Stroud, you have all the tools, you're at Ohio State, you have a massive talent advantage almost every game. Now you could see where it's like, okay, now get to the NFL where it's a lot, everybody's a lot faster, everything's a lot tougher, coverages are better to scout, all that stuff. You could see where, yeah, you might be worried. Now, look, man, sometimes it's like, go watch the dude play against Georgia. Tell me that guy's not an NFL quarterback,
yeah.
Right? I think if this is – this is an accurate score. I think C.J. Stroud becomes a really interesting test case because so far we've seen, and it's mostly good being good, but we've seen a correlation, good scores relating to good performance. If Stroud comes in the NFL and lights it up, well, frankly, this will diminish a little bit the, I don't want to say importance. The S2 tests are still going to be a factor here, but it'll cool down the whole, like, what's your S2 score all of a sudden is, like, the number one factor. It's not the number one factor. It's a tool. It tells you something.
Yeah, well, before the S2 stuff, there was concern on the C.J. Stroud front in terms of, all right, well, he plays at Ohio State, and look at the receivers he's been throwing the ball to, whether that's Jaxon Smith-Njigba or Chris Olave or Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, he's got the best talent out there. So how good is he really? I mean, people were talking about that before you even had the S2 stuff coming out. So if you factor that in, and then now you factor this in too, that is it's an interesting week for C.J. Stroud right before the draft, mind you. Less than a week away from the draft with this stuff coming out.
What's the QB? What's the QB's name in draft day? Bo.
Why am I totally blanking?
Bo on something. But yeah, I was like, no, they didn't go to his birthday party.
Good gracious, why am I blanking his name? Text line, help us.
I'm not even going to look at you, Michelle.
Let's go to our 125 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, man. Hey, you know what? I'm proud of you guys because you reach a certain point. If you ever see somebody just speak on a certain subject and it just feels cringy to you, that's what I get when we reach a certain point with draft talk, because I'm like, okay, they've covered this a million times, and these guys still haven't played football since December or January or whenever they played football. You can't talk about it anymore. Like, I don't know if Stroud's good. I don't know if Richardson's going to be good. I'm just ready for the pick now, man. And I applaud you guys because I feel like y'all have the hardest job in the world, which is having to continually discuss these dudes that we don't know anything about. I feel like it would be an impossible job, but y'all do a fine job doing it. I'm glad it's coming to an end.
Thank you, Adam. We appreciate it. Now, let me be clear.
It's not that hard.
Let me be clear. We do not have the hardest job in the world. If so, Joe and I would not be doing it.
Yeah. I mean, just put Jared on there and get me screaming. It's fine. It's easy.
By the way, it's Bo Callahan. Good Lord.
Bo Callahan. Why could I not remember that? There you go. Bo Callahan. Well, look, it does get a little monotonous, but then you have something like this today, and it's like, ooh, there's some new information. And possibly really interesting information.
Speaking of really interesting, big series coming up this weekend between Vanderbilt and Tennessee on the baseball front. Things not going particularly well for the Vols at the moment, and Vanderbilt off to a great start so far this season. And coming up next, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt head coach Tim Corbin. Looking forward to that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Friday morning. A very interesting series coming up this weekend between Vanderbilt and Tennessee in some SEC baseball action. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in one of our favorite guests, Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin. Tim, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Tim, obviously a big series coming up this weekend. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. But 13-2 in conference play so far to this point. What do you make of just the start of this season in conference play for your team, and what have you learned about your group to this point?
Well, as I said, I think they're just consistent. I don't think there's – if you watch us play, I don't think there's anything special when you watch the talent, not to minimize who we are, but I think just we play well together. They're consistent in how they show up. They're consistent in how they attack the other team. And, you know, you can kind of see that during the course of the fall and other things, not so much baseball, but how they're organized, their discipline, how they did in school, their social habits. I think there's a lot of things you can tell in terms of the actions that take place off the field before they get on the field. And I think because of that, they've been exposed to consistent outcomes.
Well, to that point, Tim, a couple months ago, I think we were talking about NIL, actually, but just asked you a general question, like, you know, how you feeling about this team? And you brought up, and I want to make sure I have it accurate, you brought up that this team's GPA was the best possibly since a national championship team. I may have had that wrong, but it was very good, and it was among, and that has been sort of a marker for you with team success. Is that accurate? And how much do you think there is a correlation between just overall excellence, you know, in all aspects of life, and then your team's playing well in the spring?
I do, Joe. I don't think the numbers lie. I think you go back to 11, you go back to 13, you go back to 14, you go back to 15, you go back to 19, and even 13, and one of our best years where we didn't get to the College World Series. Those were all our best academic years, too, and this one was the best. Now, you know, it doesn't mean that you're going to go to Omaha, but those numbers and how kids show up to the facility and their discipline with what they're doing, their competitive levels, I just think that there's so much to be had by really structuring your time. I mean, you know, it's been said many times, but the discipline that you give yourself, especially when you're 18, 19, 20 years old, actually gives you a lot of freedom. And I think that word scares a lot of people. But when you're really contained in what you're doing and really centered on what you're doing, you can get the full amount out of it. You can stay focused, you can compete, and you're not scattered. And I just think scattered brains lead to scattered situations, and I don't think that's who we are. Now, we'll get turned upside down every so often, like we did Tuesday night, but I think generally speaking, you know what you're getting. It's like you got three kids and a wife in your home, and the consistency of your home, regardless of what happens inside the home, you know how they're going to show up and how they're going to react to it almost every day. And I think I feel that way about these guys.
Tim, you brought up Tuesday night and the loss to Indiana State. What did you learn? What do you want your team to learn from that experience?
Well, I think they're mature enough to understand that it doesn't really matter who you play. I mean, that's something that we speak about going back to the early part of the fall. setting ourselves up for the season. So it wasn't like Indiana State is. They're very understanding of Indiana State. They've been in our regional the last few years. They're a good team. They won 10 in a row before they got to us. They're an older team. And I think, you know, it's easy to look at a game and a 10-2 loss and say, you know, we were just flat that night. You know, but I think sometimes you're so egotistical and you're so centered on your own team that you don't really take the time to really think what the opposition did in order to put you there. And I think they did. You know, they're a good team. They pitch well. They kind of shut us down. Wasn't hard velocity until the end, but everything was mixed. And I think when you get yourself in a situation like that, and, you know, we were coming off an emotional series against South Carolina, but, you know, that's the standard. You come off a series like that, you get Monday off, you get into Tuesday, you regroup and you play. And, you know, they were just the better team. So you got to give a lot of credit to Indiana State.
So, Tim, excellence really in every aspect. I mean, you guys are a great defensive team. I think people sometimes don't understand how important that can be. A lot of tremendous pitching performances. If there's a, would you say that RJ Schreck and Chris Maldonado and what they're doing at the plate, would that be the biggest, I guess, positive surprise for you about this season so far?
Well, yeah, maybe in Chris's part, just because he's a young kid, and I don't, you just don't expect a lot out of a young kid. I mean, if they jump in like Brian Reynolds did, and not comparing Chris Maldonado with Brian Reynolds, but I just remember Brian his freshman year. Once he got going, he thought, well, this kid's pretty good, and you're hitting him at the top of your lineup. But, you know, Chris is very mature. You know, he stands in the batter's box. He knows the difference between a ball and a strike. He doesn't swing at balls, and he can move a breaking ball. And for a young kid, identifying breaking ball is the first step, but when you can actually identify it and then make a move to it and hit it, then you got a chance to be a good hitter, and he can do that. Schreck, on the other hand, he's just a good player. That's a good college player. We're very fortunate to get him because I'm not saying that we will never go into the portal, but that's just not the way we want to build a team. But we had history with RJ, and we recruited RJ out of high school. We just didn't have a spot for him at that time. He ended up walking on at Duke and then became a very good player there. Thought he was going to get drafted. He didn't. And at that point right there, it kind of opened up a spot for us. And knowing that we needed a left-handed hitter, someone who certainly has 500 at-bats under his belt, that was kind of pleasing to us. And he plays. He plays like a vet. You know, he plays like a guy who's been there before. He blended really well. And I think, you know, that's the thing about a new kid coming into a situation is you got to have high respect for the people around you, because oftentimes you can tick people off by just coming in and think, okay, I'm going to play. And you take a person's spot that potentially could have played there. And he does a nice job of soothing those situations. So he's a good player and he's a good person.
Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So Tim, obviously the weekend series coming up against Tennessee, and, you know, there have been some emotional series between you two the last couple of years. How important is this rivalry, is this series to you and to the players within your program?
Well, you know, it's where it is. It's the start of the second half of the SEC season. So it's really important for them. It's really important for us. And I think everyone that's playing right now understands that the second half of the season really dictates a lot of where teams go. And, yeah, we've gotten off to a good start, but the reality is you still don't know who's who in this conference, because I think time is always the answer sheet of anything, and you start to understand really how good areas of the conference were at the end of the season. And I don't know if we played the toughest part. I don't know if we played a part that isn't the toughest part, and same with Tennessee. So I think a lot dictates on, you know, how we play against one another. Their pitching staff is – you know, there's not many pitching staffs in the country like Tennessee. They can throw four starters at you if they need to, five if you include Seacrest, and those are all quality arms. And then they have a host of quality arms that are coming out of the bullpen. So that's a tough measurement right there to go against. And then their hitters, they've got enough hitting in there for sure. Got some scary guys in the middle part of their lineup, and it's going to be a tough series for us. And when you play on the road in Knoxville, That's a great fan base. They're very prideful of their team, and they have an effect, and it's tough to play there.
Tim, there are some coaches, and maybe more like college football coaches, who might put together a little highlight reel of some of what Tennessee did on your field last year, what they said, things like that. I mean, there was a lot of – I mean, obviously that team was very brash, and in particular, I think, after what they did here. I'm pretty sure you would not be one of those coaches who would lean in on that, but do you want your guys to use that emotion at all or think back to that, or would you like that just completely cleared and just focus on the task at hand?
Well, no, I would never approach something like that. I don't, because it's baseball, and you can't play baseball when you're angry. And we've had a lot of those discussions through the years. I think human emotion is real, and human emotion can be gained or altered based on past experiences. But those are past experiences, too. You know, last year's team, both Tennessee and Vanderbilt, were completely different. And now you have two different teams that still have the same names, but they really can't take ownership to the actions which happened last year, good or bad. So, no, that doesn't have really much of an effect. Now, the kids themselves, they feel things, as I do too. And as I said, those emotions are real, but they have to help you. If they don't help, you gotta get rid of them. Bad energy does not help a human being, no matter what you're trying to do. And I think it's really all about playing our best baseball in this environment.
Well, Tim, it's been a lot of fun to watch to this point. Congratulations on the success so far this season. Good luck in the second half of the season. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you very much, Joe and Robbie. I appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Big weekend series coming up between Vanderbilt and Tennessee. And Joe, Vanderbilt playing really well in first place in the SEC East. They're off to a great start. Tennessee, at the moment, is kind of right on the bubble in the NCAA tournament, which is pretty shocking.
It is, and they need, you know, halfway point. They need to – they got a couple series that they got to take care of, you know, against teams that they should definitely beat, but they really need – I mean, a win in this series, now you send yourself back a little bit safer, a little bit feeling better about that bid. But, yeah, it's going to be touch and go, and I never would have guessed that. But defense – you know, Vanderbilt, they're so good. Everybody thinks about Enrique Bradfield, but yep, they're so good across the board. It makes such a huge difference in baseball. And Tennessee's been just bad.
They've been terrible.
And so their pitching has been disappointing for sure, because I thought they'd have the best rotation in the nation. But, the defense, when it's that bad, it's you can't even really – like, it goes beyond the numbers of what that can do to your pitching.
Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. We will do that coming up next. Make sure you tune into Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5, 106.3 The Game for the first three rounds on Thursday, April 27th, which is next week, and Friday, April 28th. Coverage presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, thenewcumberland.com, Smoky Mountain Tops, Parman Energy, and B&B Flooring. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. Joe Rexroad, the floor is yours. I hand the reins over to you.
I'm going to kind of go fast here again, too, because I feel like we have to get back into draft Stroud S2 potpourri.
Sure.
But just now on Twitter, a website I still go to some a little bit, I saw that Alyssa Milano was trending, and my heart dropped. Because, you know, whenever you see someone trending, you immediately think, oh, my God, what happened? Did a bad, terrible accident happen or something? As you all may remember, I was in love with Melissa Milano at 12 years old and never really stopped. Katie knows this. That's okay. Katie's so in love with Jason Bateman. She'd leave me in 5 minutes for him. So my sweet Alyssa Milano. Apparently she's trending because she complained about the blue check and people are attacking her or whatever. So that's funny because I was going to say a quick couple words about the blue check. The blue check, my blue check is gone on Twitter. Oh, it's gone. Oh, verification is gone. And so apparently people are paying $8 now to be verified. I mean, when I look at Twitter now, if you have a blue check, I assume you're a freaking idiot. Like, I mean, like, I don't understand.
LeBron had one yesterday.
Did he?
Yeah.
He still had his?
Well, he said, you know, he said he wasn't going to do it. And, you know, LeBron, for those who don't know, it's kind of funny. Like, he's notoriously cheap.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he, like, you know, he's got $1 billion. Yeah. Apparently, he doesn't spend it on anything. So he didn't want to pay the $8 a month. But the blue check was still there yesterday. And apparently, like, Elon Musk, like, just comped it for him. He's like, yeah.
Elon gifted some people.
We'll keep LeBron's. Nice. And now I'm looking at LeBron's and it's gone. So I guess Elon had enough of that.
Oh. Elon, like, it's sort of like, it's one of those, like, have a free trial.
I guess so.
And then, okay, where's your $8? Matt, you're out.
I guess so.
Now, Michelle did bring up to me, because I've seen some people on there say, well, I'm going to pay because there's some functionality that's
so
better.
So I subscribed to Twitter Blue before Elon bought Twitter, which was you can post. You could. It was a feature on Twitter you could buy before he.
Was it $8 a month then too?
Yeah, it was $8 a month, and you could post videos up to 10 minutes on there. So, you know, for journalists or people in the media. So you could post stuff from our stream. So I bought it, and now I have blue check marks. So. And now everybody's like, oh my God, you bought it, blah, 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 you're fake, blah, all this stuff. And I'm like, okay.
So Joe's
whatever.
Attacking you.
So you're keeping it down to. You're keeping it, you're going to pay?
I mean, I already did before it.
Right, okay, but so in the next year, $96. Think about all the things you do with $96.
Not a whole lot anymore.
Honestly, not a whole lot anymore.
You can go get like 3 beers on Broadway? Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
You could get, yeah. I mean.
You're going to keep it?
I mean, I bought.
I'm going to attack you mercilessly.
But here's the reason, though. But here's the thing. But here's the thing. I didn't buy it for the check. Like, right. I bought it like before. So this was 6 months ago, or you know what I mean? I bought it so I could post stuff on, like, that we talk about on the show. I could clip videos from our stream and post it.
But what's wrong with two minutes and 20 seconds is fine. No one wants to watch
Sports Talk Radio. Our segments are 12 minutes long. You can't even post anything that's...
I think you should.
So now Joe's going to... Now Joe's going to... Michelle!
I want you to get rid of the blue check.
We're efficient here on this program.
Join us. Join us in getting rid
but
of the
blue
check.
But I didn't... But that's the point. Like, I didn't... I'm not paying... Yes, the check is there. Like, but it's...
So now when I see Michelle Knezovic, blue check, oh my God! She's lying! Who is this? It's an imposter! It's like Scooby-Doo. You know, you take the mask off. These darn kids!
Which good Scooby-Doo
sounds,
reference.
Thank you. Sounds like something, a case for Agent 31, by the way.
Zach from Nashville says, I was paying for Twitter Blue before verification became a part of
see?
It.
See, yeah.
The undo
yeah,
button
I didn't,
to correct
I didn't know
typos.
That was a
thing. And I didn't either.
And yeah, longer and videos the were edit.
Yeah, and the edit button.
Okay, so you can correct your own typos.
Yeah.
I'm a typo bad person.
I feel like you still have typos. If you're going to pay for this, then you need to use it.
Believe me, I have used it a couple times. I'm like, oh, crap.
Caleb says, $96 is 2 rounds of golf. I'll take the golf. That's from Caleb.
I mean, I can do some stuff with $96. You're right. A lot less, but like that's... I mean, you give me $96 right now and send me, you know.
Although I will say.
Into a
people were very upset about this yesterday on Twitter. Like the blue check marks just going away. And I'm like, hey, it's going to be all right. Like, you don't have to be. Like,
it's so weird,
man. It's weird. I agree. But like.
No, it's weird that people are emotional.
They were like really mad about it. Like, oh, my blue check marks going. I was like, well, maybe you need to do some introspection a little bit if you're that concerned about. People not having the blue check mark.
Yeah, like,
oh my God, people won't see my blue check mark anymore. It's
yeah,
like, okay.
I know. The whole thing has always been like, I don't remember what year, you know, but like the Detroit Free Press at one point, like our whole staff got blue checked.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then I remember my cousin, my little cousin, and she was like in high school, and she's like, oh, you are verified. I'm like, okay, what does that mean?
I think
for young people, it means more.
I went and spoke to a high school class.
No? Michelle
like 2 years ago?
You like literally can't even get verified now. Well, before.
I went and spoke to a high school class 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, went through how I got into sports and all of those stuff. And, you know, it's a high school class, so they're, you know, half of them were asleep while I'm up there talking. And then somebody in like the middle of it just pulls up my profile on Twitter and like,
hey, guys, he's verified on Twitter. And they're like, oh, man, that's awesome. It's like, this is what you're taking away from this? Yes, I'm verified on Twitter.
It is. It's a little, yeah. So that's the thing. I mean, it was useful, I think, in the past. Like, if you had like a fake account, and then you could look at, oh, it's the fake Adam Schefter account, doesn't have the blue check. The real one does. So that's a quick way to figure it out, right? I mean, there's going to be more, I guess, like when there's a big breaking news event, like crap flying around from fake account.
Probably.
But take a second, and you can look at an account, probably look at followers, look at when they were joined.
Make sure they don't
look
have
at their tweets.
Nine Z's at the end of their
name. Look at the actual name, and I think you can probably mostly figure it out, right?
I think so.
But it's time to get off Twitter. Let's all get up. Why don't we do that? Can we start our own website?
Robert on the text line says, Joe actively trying to get people to boycott paying for the blue check mark on Twitter while on air. LOL. Elon's going to come after you. LOL. Elon could be watching us. I mean, according to our streaming right now, Elon could be watching us right now.
And the entire world is watching us according to the numbers. So actually, I'm in favor of this, Elon.
Welcome the millions of you consuming Robbie and Rex Road.
I can't wait to see the number at the end of the show. Like 9 million viewers today. Thank you, Elon.
And all of the viewers stay with us all day.
Yeah.
Use Twitter.
Wow. Well, I was going to get back into football, but I guess we went all in on the blue check.
Well, we are going to get into football up next, coming up with Teron Davenport. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will discuss the NFL draft and all things Titans with TD coming up next. Speaking of the draft, make sure you don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You can join Jared Stillman, Derek Mason, and Chris Sanders as they broadcast live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of 29-degree beer, coming up on Thursday, April 27th. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.